You have your Bible, turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. We've been in chapter 4 now for a few weeks, and this morning the aim is to reach the end of the chapter. And so let's begin by reading verse 43, and verses 43 through 54 is where we'll be this morning. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. John chapter 4, verse 43. After the 2 days, it says of Jesus, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. And verse 46 says, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And verse 48 says, so Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. And so he asked them the hour when he had began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. And verse 54 says, this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Now, preceding verse 43, we saw this last week, that many believed in Jesus because of the testimony of the woman who had met Jesus at the well. And she had come and she had testified of Jesus, and she says, he told me all that I ever did. He told me everything that I had ever done. We saw also that as the Samaritans came to meet Jesus, they asked him to stay. That was why we saw that at the beginning of the passage. So after the 2 days, they asked him to stay. So Jesus stayed 2 days. And in verses 41 and 42, we learned that many more believed because of his word, because of Jesus' word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, as we begin today in verse 43, we find Jesus leaving after 2 days, headed to Galilee, which might give us pause for a moment. Jesus had been well received, and many had believed because of his word. But he leaves after 2 days. Why didn't he stay? Why leave if you're finding success? That's not how we would do it, is it? We're being successful, let's not leave, let's stay and try to accomplish more of what we're trying to do. Well, God's ways certainly aren't like our ways, are they? And if we don't realize that, we need to learn that lesson. God doesn't work the way we intend for him to do sometimes, or even work the way that we hope he will. Sometimes he does, but sometimes you're going to be surprised. He doesn't work the way you think he should. In fact, we hear this in Isaiah 5 in verse 9. God declares, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, back to the question, why did Jesus leave? He was having success. Why leave now? Why did Jesus leave when there were so many people believing in him? He left because he was to be about his father's business. Part of his father's business we celebrated this morning, we reminded ourselves of. Part of his business was to go to the cross. But before that, he had work to do. That's what he told his earthly parents when he was just 12 years old and they found him in the temple after searching for him for 3 days. And Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then in John 8 and verse 29, Jesus says, "For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." If Jesus left in the middle of what we would say, this is a successful evangelistic campaign. If he left in the middle of this, obviously he must be leaving for a purpose. We just need to be reminded here that God does what he chooses. God does as he chooses. His wisdom is far greater than ours, and we don't give him permission to do anything. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I'll give God permission to do this, or even pray that. Don't do that. You don't give God permission to do anything. He doesn't need your permission for anything. Should you submit to him? Yes. But that's not giving God permission. Submit to him and be happy with what God chooses to do. Be content with how God chooses to do it. It's important to notice here that neither apparent success or failure dictated Jesus' movement as he ministered here on earth. Jesus didn't take take the temperature of the crowd to find out whether he was successful, to decide whether he would stay or not. Here he is in the midst of success, and he moves on. Jesus is focused on his single purpose. He was here to seek and to save the lost, says Luke 19:10. So take that to heart, believer. Take that to heart, church. If you're a believer in Jesus, you too ought to be focused on your heavenly Father's business. You ought to take that as an example that Jesus has set for us. He was focused on the purpose for which God sent him. And you need to realize that if God has you here on earth, still, he has a purpose for you. And you ought to focus on that purpose. Take each thought, take each word and deed and give them to be used for God's glory. Live every day so that your life points to Jesus and glorifies him. Think of your life in terms like that. Think of your life in that way. Take that to heart. Be about your heavenly Father's business in all that you do. And so Jesus leaves for Galilee. It was a journey by foot that would likely have taken 2 or 3 days. And the fact that he leaves behind success for a place where he'd not be necessarily wholeheartedly received and believed in is instructive. Jesus wasn't necessarily looking for an easy place to minister. He wasn't looking for an easy way out. He was all about going where the lost needed to be sought out and saved. And so John, quoting Jesus, says in verse 44, "For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown." Now, when we come to verse 45, you may ask, why does John include this statement in verse 44? What do you mean a prophet has no honor in his own hometown? It sure looks like verse 45 is saying he's well received. Look at it. Verse 45 says, "So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him." But note why they welcomed him. "Having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast," for they too had gone to the feast. So why did John include this no honor statement in verse 44 to go on and point to the welcome Jesus received in the region of his hometown? This is talking about the land of Galilee where Jesus grew up. John included it because it helps explain why Jesus went where he would not be necessarily believed in, well received, welcomed possibly, but not necessarily believed in by many. Yes, Jesus is welcomed, and as he enters Galilee, he's welcomed by these people, but things are not always as they appear. When you pay attention to how this plays out in the text, you begin to realize that they are welcoming Jesus for the wrong reasons. The reason Jesus is welcomed is because of what they had witnessed. They had seen things in Jerusalem when he cleared the temple. His authority. Something different about this man. It says in verse 45 that the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. So they welcomed Jesus. But it wasn't that they were believing in him. It's that they were impressed with him. And they saw that welcoming him could be to their benefit. They would welcome Jesus for his miracles, for what they could get from him. But that doesn't mean they were honoring him as the Messiah. They were not. So here we see Jesus in John 4 returning to the region where he had grown up, Galilee. And though people seem to welcome him, this is not real faith in him. So why is he returning to a place where he will not be well received and not wholeheartedly believed in by many when he left behind what seemed like many coming to him and was many coming to him believing in him? It's because Jesus isn't here to make friends. Oh, he is a friend of sinners. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your friend. But he's not on earth to make friends. He's here to accomplish his Father's business. He's here to seek and to save the lost. Can we learn here not to be like these people? Don't be like these people. Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? Have you surrendered your life? Have you submitted your life to Christ in faith in him and in him alone for your salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins? Or are you merely spectating? Are you only here because it makes you feel good? As we continue in the text, what we're seeing is not saving faith in these who welcome Jesus. The same is still true today. Many will come inquiring of Jesus not because they believe. Many will be curious about religious things not because they believe in Jesus, but for what they can get. Let's look at verse 46 again. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Note that. Where he had made the water wine. John includes this for a good reason. This was Jesus' first sign in Cana. Word had gotten around. This Jesus, he's a miracle worker. And then look at the rest of verse 46 and verse 47. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So here's an official, a man of status. He's also a man of wealth, a man who has anything at his disposal that he wants. But his child is dying. And he realizes he can't save his son. But when he hears that Jesus has come from Judea to Galilee, he hurries to Jesus to ask if he would come and heal his son. This man sees Jesus not as the Messiah, but as a worker of miracles. So look at Jesus' response in verse 48. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Jesus is this man's last resort. And that is exactly the problem. God did not send His Son to be our last grasp at hope after we've tried everything else. He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place for our sins, to be the first and final answer to our biggest problem, which is our separation from God because of our sins. And Jesus knows this man sees no need for Him as the Messiah. He only sees Him as having the answer to his most pressing problem. His son is dying, and this Jesus, this healer, may be able to help. Jesus had given this man, and we need to note here that it wasn't just this man that He spoke to. There were those who'd gathered round. Jesus had given this man and the other people standing around a clear challenge that He knows they wouldn't believe without signs and wonders. The word "you" in verse 48 used twice in the Greek is plural. So He isn't talking only to this man. He's talking to people who've gathered around. And what Jesus is confronting is this attitude, this "I'll believe it when I see it" kind of attitude. Jesus knew that was the people's attitude who'd come to see Him. Jesus just gave them a stern rebuke. But look at how this official answers. He doesn't even argue with Jesus. He has one thing in mind. Verse 49, the official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Please just come before my child dies," says the man. So what did Jesus do? In fact, He doesn't do anything. Look at what He says, and look at the man's response. Look at verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." Jesus says, "Go, your son will live." Just five words in the English text. So simple. "Go, your son will live." He doesn't go in to explain. He doesn't give him a long, drawn-out explanation of what's going to happen. And look what the man does. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Jesus doesn't need to do anything. Think of that. His word is power. Note that the man didn't say, What? Aren't you coming down?" Jesus' word is power. And the man believed Him when He spoke, "Go, your son will live." One moment, all the man wants is for Jesus to come with him and heal his dying son. And the next moment, he's content to leave without the man he came to bring to his home to heal his son. He's content to leave and go his way. What happened? Jesus spoke is what happened. What changed for this man? I think a heart change occurred in this man when Jesus spoke. I think the lights turned on in this man's heart. His eyes were opened. The text isn't explicit here, but this man's behavior would lead us to believe this. It would have been interesting to hear how Jesus said what He did. I certainly don't think He ran him off saying, "Just go." He didn't say, "Just go, just get out of here." He didn't say that. I don't believe that. It's not how He spoke to him. We can only imagine, but Jesus' tone had to be comforting, had to be assuring, because we're told here that the official believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way Jesus, remember this. Do we need to be reminded of this? Jesus is God in human flesh. And this man believed Jesus when he spoke. And it would seem that now he leaves with a different attitude than the one he came with to see Jesus. A faithful minister of God's word, a Bible preacher and teacher and writer who's now with the Lord, R.C. Sproul, said that the Christian life is not about believing in God. It's about believing God. What saving faith is trusting what God says is the truth. I think we see that in this official. He heard Jesus' promise, and he believed. He believed the promise. Go, your son will live. One moment, this man thinks he must have Jesus go with him. He must bring him to his home. And the next moment, he's content to go home without Jesus because he believed him. Now look at verse 51. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how you would feel if you're told on the way home that your dying son was recovering? Look at his response in verse 52, his first thought. So he asked them, when? What hour? He asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And verse 53, the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself, now we know the lights are on spiritually, and he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he came, when he had come from Judea to Galilee. At first, this man saw Jesus only for what he could get from him in the here and now. What could Jesus do for me? Well, my son's dying. But now his belief is more than just believing that Jesus can work another miracle. Now he has saving faith in Jesus. And not he alone, but his whole household. What a powerful change God has worked in this man's heart. That not only he believes, but his testimony about this man Jesus is so convincing that his whole family believes. Do you remember what I've been reminding you of throughout our studies? What is John's purpose in this gospel, John the Apostle? What is John's gospel all about? It's about believing in Jesus. John says, chapter 20, verse 31, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus told the woman at the well back in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then the people of Sychar came to Jesus because of this woman's witness, and they believed in him. Verse 42, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And now this official and his whole family believe in Jesus. And so I ask, are you only coming to Jesus because you see that doing so could be to your benefit in the here and now? Or maybe you're coming to Jesus because you see him as your last chance out of trouble. I can think of worse reasons to first come to Christ, but if that's all you've ever seen in Jesus and ever see in Him, then it's time to hear His Word. It's time to hear Jesus speak from the pages of your Bible and believe in Him. If you haven't believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then it's time to put your faith and trust in Jesus and in Him alone. It's only through faith in Him that your sins are forgiven and you receive the gift of living water, eternal life. You need to know you can speak to God in prayer right in this moment, right now, believing in Jesus, asking for His forgiveness, thanking Him for His forgiveness, putting your trust in Jesus and in Him alone. If you have questions about that, I'd be happy to speak with you about that. Believer, when you come to this text and you see the faith demonstrated by this man among many who weren't believing, who were just there for more signs, more miracles, just put on a show for us, Jesus. He was a man who came for one purpose and left with his life changed. Not only his son's life saved, but his own life saved, his spiritual life, his whole family. What a powerful reminder of the work that God does in a life, in a person who puts their faith in the one and only Jesus Christ. God will change you. And so I ask, are you changing? Are you submitting yourself, believer, daily to God's Word to be changed by the Word God speaks to us through the pages of our Bibles? May God's Word strengthen and encourage and teach each of us today. And may we all look to Jesus every day as our Savior who seeks and saves the lost and gives us new life in Him, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, eternal life for all eternity, but also new life to be lived for Him now and in Him now. May God's Word today encourage us to look to Him and live for Him this week.